Great to have you with us this morning. Preliminary final week. It is a conversation starter for Kia's seven-day sale extended to this weekend. Receive a $777 bonus across the range. Chris Fagan is going to join us. Nick Riewoldt has joined us in the chair. Welcome, Rui.
Morning, boys.
Good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, you too, mate. Good to see you. Good to see you, Timmy.
Good to see you. You look bright and bushy. What are you, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning? Yeah, I've got given up for a while.
I have been up for a while. Got woken up by a coughing child. And once I wake up on Monday morning early, I can't go back to sleep because I know the NFL's on and I can't help myself. So I always just roll over and grab the phone and check the scores. And once I check the scores and that blue light hits my eyes, I'm gone.
That's a trap.
What you're going to say, you know, on a Monday morning, you're that excited to come in here.
That goes without saying, Gary.
You can't go back to sleep again. Just quickly, I want to update people. I don't know if you heard this on the drive-in. Mitchum and Ringwood was a thriller, and it went down to a score that was either touch on the line or not. This is from Cameron, who says, I was at that game. The ball was over the line, but it was touch first, Wisp. That's new information.
So touched
off the boot.
Off the boot.
The umpires gave it a no score, which is the only thing he got wrong. He should have said
touched.
Hopefully. I'm not suspecting that that's going to appease everyone. I think whoever's on the wrong end of it's going to come for us. But anyway, Rui's here for Buy My Stock. Got excess stock. Visit buymystock.com.au. Where are we starting? Friday night?
Yeah, let's go back to the start. I mean, it was we were warned, weren't we, about writing off the losers from the first week. West Coast were so convincing, but it was hard to read too much into it given the opposition. And Geelong, I just thought, gee, if Geelong play the way that they played the week before against Collingwood, slow down the line, well, you could see in the very first passage of play when they got the footy and they looked corridor, that they weren't going to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
So they didn't throw out their game plan completely, but you could tell they weren't going to be as conservative as they were the week before.
And the decision to play blitz halves on a wing early was a thing. You're at the ground. We were doing it for radio. We just sat there going, Chris Scott, love him or hate him, he will not bend. He will not.
No.
He is his own man. It was almost an up yours to those.
There might have been a few eyebrows raised, but the bloke sitting next to me too, he'd gone pretty hard the week before. And look at for periods of the game, you thought, oh, this, because Gaff got hold of him for that. It was that 5 minute, 10 minute period.
Early it worked.
But then Gaff got hold of him over that period where he was able to hit the scoreboard twice, kick two goals. And it wasn't just the two goals. I mean, he started those passages of play as well. And his breaking of the lines while Blitzarves was sort of holding his width, you could have asked the question. And I was really surprised, given we thought, okay, they've played him in the ruck the first week. Now you have to revert to what you know, and you have to play him in defence because of Darling and because of Kennedy. But they backed Collar Jasny in, they backed Henry in, and they got the job done.
Yeah, no, it worked. I thought early on in the piece he was impactful, Blitzarves. He was back and forward, and he was. I'd love to know exactly what the instruction was, but at various stages he'd get into the back half and take Kennedy or take Darling if that what was needed to happen, and it just sort of gave them some flexibility if, you know, if Collar Jasny wanted to go, he could go, knowing that he had some backup, and then he pushed forward at the right time.
The thing about doing or making a move like that too is that you hope, as a coaching fraternity, you hope that that works, so that that actually then means that the opposition coaching box has to do something about it. It's not just playing on Gaff, it's the influence that he might have to them start to think, gee, you know, we have to change something here to counteract that.
Well, it was Maston early, and Maston, I was watched it really carefully. He wasn't sure what to do. He was sort of going, do I go, do I not, do I stay? And he got a little bit of footy, but he was impacting more, I thought, early.
And that hesitation might be the thing that, if you look at the end result in that game, like they got off to a 19-0 start or something like that, there's 20 points in the game at the end of the night. Like it can just be the difference. That start in a final, when you're talking about the best teams, that first 15 minutes of a final can often be the difference between two sides at the end of the night.
Well, and it certainly looks that way now in retrospect, doesn't it? Because they got out of the blocks and their first quarters had been absolutely horrendous over a long period in finals, Geelong as well. So there's a bit to get through here. How much stock do we put in the emotional drain and the shock of what occurred for West Coast in the couple of days before the final?
I don't know the answer to that.
You've played the, we've all played the game. How much of a distraction do you think that would have been, and how much energy can that potentially sap from the playing group?
So I only look at it from a personal. I would say not as much as what people might think from me, but I couldn't talk for how many others are affected by it. Like, I mean, Liam Ryan, maybe, you know, the boys that are really close together and work together really closely, that forward line group, maybe. From actual on-field, it has an impact because he's such a talented player. But in terms of what happens the night before and how much it takes out of you, maybe a lot, maybe. I couldn't put a percentage.
Players are pretty good at compartmentalising those sort of issues and moving on. I'll tell you what, they missed him, though. They missed his footy stuff, particularly early. That first half, the amount of good looks they had going inside 50. Yeah. So I think of Kennedy leading out a couple of times. Waterman, you know, kicks it over his head. And I think it was Ryan at the other end, tries to lace him out, goes over his head. So Willy Rioli's been the best inside 50 kick in the competition this year. Kingy did some really good stuff on that in the pre-game. And so they missed his use. I mean, emotionally, there's a bit of a fallout as well. But the actual physical execution that he brings on game day, they miss that.
They went inside 11 times in that first quarter, the Eagles, and had 6 possessions inside their forward 50 for 11 entries.
Yeah.
We spoke to the ruck whisperer, Steve Talbot, last week, and he said a really interesting thing that I hadn't considered before, and that was about ruckman, how banged up they get from week to week. And he posed the question about Nat Nui coming off, you know, that really long break, plays football, then has to front up again the week later. How did you read the battle between him and Stanley?
I think Stanley got the points.
I thought he did too.
Yep. And that was the question all week, wasn't it? What are they going to do? Are they going to bring him in? Is Blitzar's going to go back? Is he going to play? Well, he didn't do either in the end. He played on the wing. But no, I thought Stanley was good. He competed. West Coast, they didn't get the domination out of the middle that would have been a concern for Geelong. And athletically, Stanley has the athletic gifts to be able to compete, be able to jump. But it was all about, can he actually just mentally compete with him for 4 quarters? Well, he ticked the box. He absolutely did that, and that meant Shuey and all these West Coast midfielders, they couldn't get as proactive as they would have liked. Yo, it was a huge, huge result for them to be able to nullify that advantage or perceived advantage coming into the contest.
I know Yo went to Dangerfield and kept him, you know, quiet for 3 quarters, and then Danger exploded. Dangerfield's impact early in this game and in taking on Nat Nui post hit out. You have a look at that.
It was first contest on the ground.
Timmy continued to do it. It was almost, he took it personally as if to say, well, I'll be the one to take on Nat Nui and not let him have that impact. I thought it was really a massive statement from a leader.
It was big late too.
He was huge late.
He was huge late, wasn't he? I mean, that contested marking ability for a big size midfielder, but, you know, he wouldn't be a big size forward, would he? I think that's just so important. Moving forward to next week, you've got to try and find a way to mark the ball on Richmond. You certainly can't let them mark it, but if he can be doing that in the forward half of the ground, well, all of a sudden it just, particularly if Tom Hawkins isn't playing, I mean, do you toss up?
Is that the move then? Is
you
that
toss
the
up
move?
Playing him forward?
Can you afford?
Yeah, I think so.
You start him there.
Well, they did.
And then if you get in trouble, you go and put him back in the midfield because you know what he's capable of doing back there.
Was it last year or the year before they started in there in a final against Sydney? They couldn't get the damn thing to him.
That's right. Yeah. So he went cold early.
I think it'll be the split. I mean, you can't take him from the midfield because he's so dynamic in the middle of the ground.
To play devil's advocate, where did Joel Selwood look best on the weekend?
In the middle.
In the middle. He's played a lot of wing this year. So if Dangerfield's out, you can play him in the middle. I think this is Geelong's, it's not their only chance, but it's their best chance. To play Selwood in the middle, you've got Kelly in there, play Parfitt through there, load up with class in your front half. We know trying to score against Richmond is tough, but if you've got Dangerfield, if you've got Ablett, probably not Hawkins, that's going to be your best opportunity.
So let's deal with Hawkins. How do you deal with it as from a playing group? I mean, you don't. But from a coaching end, try and put us into Hawkins' head. What was he doing, Tom?
There are just moments, though, with Tom. And if you go, like, he's got a rap sheet too. Okay, so there are moments in games where he just loses control of himself. They're split second. I don't think they're decisions that are preempted in any way. They're just decisions that he just arrives at that moment, and they're undisciplined decisions. And now he's going to pay for it. I can't see. There's no way known that he can get off at the tribunal. They can mount any case they like, but the fact is that he's hit somebody off the ball, away from the play. That bloke's gone down. Now, is it worthy of 2 weeks or is it worthy of 1 week?
He's got form this year, so that's a third. I think he's had two fines for striking this year. That's
He's had a $2,000 fine against the Hawks for Sicily, striking, round 5, round 11, striking Jordan Dawson, $3,000 fine.
Yep. So this is third strike you're out.
That doesn't matter.
But it's in isolation, yes.
Ben Cunnington's had 18 strikes.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. That's why I didn't have I couldn't be absolutely sure which way it was going to go. I mean, yeah, I think the right decision has been reached by Michael Christian, but based on what we'd seen this year, I didn't have complete confidence that the system would find him guilty after what we were told to start the year that we'd stamp it out. Mm. That aside, could you mount an argument that it wasn't behind the play because he was actually leading?
No, not for me.
Like, so, and you know, might sound like I'm still sort of subscribing too much to the players' code, but as a forward, when you're being warned closely, I think it's a strike in the end, but could he not have been, you know, in the act of trying to push off and create that separation? In the end, he's just sort of nut and he's just followed through with it. And you could argue then that he was trying to create separation, got it wrong, and it was in play.
You could.
And I think it'd be success. Quickly dismissed.
Okay.
No,
I'm trying, Tommy.
I saw it, the corner of my eye stuff, right? Yeah. And then you follow the play, and then you go back. And I saw Schofield on the ground still and get up and stumble. And I thought that's it. I thought he'd concussed him. I thought he's out for 3 weeks. Yeah. That's
he wasn't happy, Schofield, after the game either.
Well, probably with good reason.
Yeah. But that's not always the reaction. No, quite often the reaction is, no worries, mate. You know, I know you wouldn't have meant it. But it wasn't that sort of embrace.
Before we move on from the West Coast Eagles, do you think now that in the post-mortem of their season, they look at whether or not there was a satisfaction regarding last year's flag?
No doubt, for me. Like, to what degree, I don't know.
And it just changes your mind. It might be the 2% or 3% which makes the difference.
But it's enough, isn't it? History tells you, Tim. History tells you when you go to pick your winner for the next year, don't pick the reigning premier. Because it doesn't happen. It's happened 3 times in 30 years. So, well, for whatever reason, whether it's they just get a little bit happy or content, or they don't push as hard, or I don't know.
They're not far off, though, are they?
No, but we also saw McGovern one-on-one, a player prepared to play him one-on-one and mark against him. We saw same with Barras, one-on-one, mark against them. So they got, you know, clubs now will look at that as going forward because they were almost impenetrable through the year. But now you go, oh, hang on a minute, Radaglia marked on him, Hawkins marked. Yeah, I love the way the Geelong forwards got physical with them. Like, they bodied him hard early, and I really like that.
Yeah, Barras has had a bad month.
Yes.
McGovern's had a bad 3 weeks by his standards. So we know that the reason it's so hard to do it is because teams they've had a good look at you over summer, because every team that's sort of half struggling and looking for an identity, well, the first thing you do is, well, how do the premiers play? And you pick apart their game plan more than you do others. And, you know, you could argue that why doesn't everyone try to copy Richmond's game plan? Well, Richmond didn't win it last year, and I mean, that's just human nature. Mm. But, you know, you start the preseason later, there is that element of satisfaction. We heard from Tom Barras during the year that for a while there you become a bit directionless, and you think, well, you know, we've done that once. It probably wasn't everything that we thought it was going to be, and we haven't got this lifelong sense of fulfillment that we thought it was going to be, and it's hard to get going again.
We've got to take a break. Just I'll pose this question as we go to the break in terms of, you know, the ability to win back-to-back flags and what happens to your mental state. This Richmond team coming into this year's preliminary final, hungrier and more focused and more centred than the Richmond team going into last year's preliminary final? That's the question I'll ask. You can answer it after the break, and we'll have a look at the Giants and the Lions. The conversation started with Nick Revolt for Kia's 7-day sale has now been extended.
My big call of the season is we're going to have a big year for coaching turnover come the end of the season. Anywhere up to 5 coaches are going to be under real pressure to keep their jobs.
You
set your trumpet.
The celebratory in memory of Spud Trumpet.
Well, is that your trumpet?
That's very good.
No good, the trumpet.
5 you got, and 5 you got right.
It was a big call.
Great call.
It was a big call.
So,
what odds Ross would I have gotten for that?
Unbelievable.
You would have got a price. Ross Lyon's name's been mentioned, Adelaide. Do you think he would be interested in going to Adelaide?
I don't think so.
Don't you?
I don't think so.
Why not?
No, I just think he's probably got his heart set on getting back to Melbourne at some stage, I would have thought.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. What if they I haven't spoken to him.
Okay. What if they put 1.3 or 4 or 5 in front of him?
Everyone's got their price, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, we're not asking him to go to Beirut. Adelaide.
No.
Although when the pressure comes, it can get pretty hectic.
We all hear names, okay, and one more than anybody else, okay? I've been, told by somebody who's in footy.
What have you been told?
That Scott Burns will be the next coach of Adelaide.
What about Truck? Benny Rutten.
Well, his name has been mentioned, but he's at Essendon, so I think that he'll probably stay there. What about either of you? Have you heard any names in the last few days?
Haven't heard a thing. No.
Been out of the loop, mate.
If you go back and examine Scotty Burns' CV, it's really impressive where he's been, the coaches that he's been around. I know people that interviewed him for another job, and they were really impressed with him as well. So
he's been close a few times.
He's been very close.
Hey, before we have a look at Brisbane and the Giants and whether the Giants can do any damage against the Pies, you were involved in very early on in your career. How early into your career?
I was 21.
21 years old with up in Brisbane.
Yeah, it was my first game as captain.
Broke collarbone.
Yep.
And came back onto the ground.
Didn't go off.
Didn't go off the ground.
Yeah, so that was the difference. So it didn't go off because it had just happened. The trainers came out, and I thought I was okay.
Yep.
So I think once the and this is why I had no problem at the time with Mal Michael and Chris Scott coming after me. That's why they were the kings.
When you say coming after, tell us in what form did that?
Well, they just saw that I was holding my shoulder. They'd seen that I'd pushed the trainer away, then I was going to try and stay out there. I didn't know that I'd broken my collarbone.
Yep, yep.
So how were they to know that I'd broken my collarbone? Yep.
But they knew you were susceptible.
They knew I was sore, so they worked it over.
Mm.
That's why they were the kings.
Yeah. That's what
because
they do.
Because they were ruthless, they were brutal, and I had no issue with it then. I have no issue with it now.
So, what about the good look for the game? What about that whole argument that surrounds this or surfaces when we have a conversation like this around the look for the game?
So we're talking about the Charlie Cameron.
Yes.
And I don't subscribe to that.
Targeting players with a known injury.
Yeah, but you're on the ground.
Yes.
You're back on the ground. So if I absolutely agree with if a player's injured and they're trying to get off, then you can't go after them. So I think we all agree on that.
But if you put somebody back on the ground.
Yeah, well, that's right. You're fair game.
And they're free to play.
So what happens if you come into a game with an injury? Like what if you come into the game with a sore, like a really sore hand or a cork? Does that mean you're allowed to put a special coloured tape around it and go up to the umpire and say, hey, just so you know, I've got a bit of a corky on this side of my body, so can you just make sure no one goes after it, please?
We talked about this morning.
I hated seeing this on the weekend. This was I think this is a complete joke.
That the umpire would
warn a player that you're not allowed to do that to another player.
So I was fired up on Saturday night as well. Cool down a bit coming here. I don't blame the umpire, having spoken to Wisp, because he umpires to the letter of the law. I just hate the law.
Well, yeah, so it's one or the other. Either the law's wrong
Because he didn't pay the free kick. He just warned him about excessively going after it and that there is a rule in place that says spirit of the game, which ends up, you could get a free kick.
Yeah, but isn't that for an injured player who's trying to leave the ground?
No.
Well, the law's wrong then.
Yeah, well,
the
I'm
law's
with you.
Wrong
I'm with
because
you.
If you're coming back out onto the ground, so Charlie Cameron was able to ditch out bumps, like he was still bumping.
Actually, it was after he was a real big
collisions. I just don't like the law.
I just think the precedent is shocking there in the end. And
you know what I'd be doing this week if I was a player under any sort of injury cloud?
Exactly.
I'd be going straight to the umpires and I'd be saying, hey, just so you know, this part of me's sore, this part of me's sore. So if anyone goes near it, pay a free kick.
And what do you think the reaction will be from the umpire?
Well, if it's not in the spirit of the game.
Well, not before the game.
Pay a free kick.
Don't do it before the game.
You don't do it before the game.
What's the difference?
Off a quarter time and you strap your shoulder up and you run past and go, hey, boys, here, look, sore shoulder, no bumpy.
Yeah.
I think there has to be more attention drawn to it before an umpire is going to react in any way to it, which is what happened on Saturday night.
We're asking the umpire to determine who's injured and who's not, which is wrong.
And I think that I would hope that the AFL, Steve Hocking or somebody, actually bring some clarification around this in the lead up to the preliminary finals this weekend.
This is the other point. What if Charlie Cameron had an injection in the elbow and couldn't feel anything? And if the lasso of truth came around him, and as umpire Ryan was saying this, he turns to the umpire and says, "No, ump, that's sweet. I can't feel it." Then what's he do? Think about that while we go to the news headlines. Thanks, Meredith. Nick Revolt's with us with Tim Watson talking the semi-finals and what's coming up, preliminary final weekend. It doesn't matter how we get there. In the end, you'd look at it and go, Geelong, yep, tick, probably preliminary finalists or thereabouts. Collingwood, yep, tick. Richmond, yep, tick. And the Giants have done what many didn't think they were able to do, and that is get down to the final four. And it was a super performance.
Yeah, it was. Didn't think they'd get past the first week.
Yeah.
The majority of us against the red-hot Western Bulldogs. They've played with an edge. They've played with a physicality. Matt DeBoer has, I think, set the tone for the team.
So who gets tagged this week and do they use? Robertson on Whitfield was unbelievably successful, and DeBoer on Neil was unbelievably successful. Will Richmond and Collingwood tag?
I think they will.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they will.
Who are they going to use?
I think DeBoer will go to side bottom.
Yeah, no, we know the Giants will.
Richmond. Richmond won't.
And
Richmond
won't.
And Collingwood, they don't really do that.
Greenwood's out.
He's out.
Out. So I don't think they will.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great success on Whitfield. So you think, right, who are Collingwood going to run with Whitfield? Maybe no one.
So I think Richmond have got it as a backup with Jack Graham. We've seen him do it in the past. He did it in the grand final, we know, against Adelaide. So they'll play their way. And if they, they didn't tag Lockie Neal. Lockie Neal had 30 odd at half time. And
so against the Cats, it's a bit different because they'll go head to head with Danger and Joel and Kelly. But the other one, the Collingwood and the GWS Giants, so the Giants, Whitfield's great strength was diminished significantly.
I was really interested to see whether GWS could actually bring that same aggression and heat to the table that they brought. I thought it might have just been a one-off, which is why I thought the Lions would win at the weekend. But they brought it. Can they do it 3 weeks in a row? They can't. Do you reckon they now think that they've actually got this style of playing that's going to be the success for them in this final series?
Well, he's got commitments in Adelaide, so he's got to go a little earlier. We'll take a break and get his answer on the other side of this. Back, Nick Revolt's with us, as is Tim Watson, as we head towards 8 o'clock. Rui's, he's got to depart a little bit earlier today. I think probably Maynard will play on Green.
Maynard went to Ablett, did a great job. Plays.
In fact, that'd be explosive, Maynard v Green, because Maynard enjoys nothing more than a Barney, and we know what Toby's like, so that would be interesting to watch.
Yep.
But that still leaves someone for Whitfield, so we'll have to wait and see. Yeah, the caller of the week could win a Toyota Hilux SR5, great finance offer on Hilux 4x4 for ABN holders. Search Toyota value. Is there, I think they were two underdogs that won on the weekend.
Yeah.
So can we see anything like that this weekend? Underdogs big time Geelong against the Tigers, and then underdogs you'd imagine big time the Giants against the Pies.
I think the Giants against the Pies is more likely.
Do you give Geelong no chance?
I didn't give Collingwood a chance in the prelim last year.
Yeah.
And we know what happened.
Yeah.
So you're always a chance. I just worry. So the game style is probably the biggest concern. If the ball's in motion, I just worry about Geelong's leg speed against Richmond. No one really has been able to take away that run and carry in that handball surge game. And with Tom Hawkins out, I just think what that does to their forward line.
That's my great concern. Is the greatest worry of any side for me playing against Richmond is how they combat their defence. And when you lose your pivotal forward in the lead-up, that's a disaster.
Yeah, because particularly, so if you want to try and isolate one deep, the great thing about Grimes, he's on the lead stuff. I mean, it's really hard to get a kick on him when you're leading at the footy. Mm. So if you had Hawkins and you played Hawkins as the deepest on Grimes and just squared him away, well, then you actually just can kick it to them. So Brisbane tried it with Charlie Cameron. The problem was Grimes outmarked him time after time after time when it was a high ball. And if it's Hawkins, well, Hawkins is going to ragdoll Grimes. So it just, gosh, it's such a missed opportunity for Tommy Hawkins.
Geelong they're not going to play fast against Richmond though, are they? They don't play fast at the best of times, so they're not going to play. They're not going to try and play into Richmond's hands, so they're going to go back the other way.
No, I still think at the right time you've got to try and just
put some pressure on the defense.
You've got to try and move the ball a little bit on Richmond because they are so well set up behind the footy. If you just go slow all day, they're just gonna put the brick wall up and they make it really difficult for teams to score at the best of times. So I think they got to find that balance. I thought they found it really well early on the weekend against West Coast.
So Blitzarves, they've moved him around the first 2 weeks of the finals. Where does he go this weekend? Tom Hawkins doesn't play, so does he go to Lynch or does he go to Revolt or do they send him somewhere else, do you think?
Yeah, I wonder if it's maybe a Harry Taylor goes forward to provide another presence in the air because you've got to get the ball to ground. Mm. So, I don't think Rowan coming in for Hawkins, I know it's a forward for forward, but it's not like for like.
No.
So Radigalia, he's crashing at the packs the other Friday night. It was just awesome the way he was launching at the footy. But you need another one because it's too easy to just check one man, stop him flying, and then intercept market. So they're going to need another tall up there. So maybe it's Taylor forward and Blitzard's back to one of the talls.
There you go. We did say if Toby Green plays, by the way, so everyone that's up in arms, we're not saying that Toby's playing. He's suspended at the moment and going to appeal, but if he plays, we're talking about who would go to him. Lockie Henderson, Wiley Buzzer, Darcy Fort, and one other that just escapes me. I'm not sure you could punt on any of those.
Zach Smith in the ruck, Stanley forward.
Abbott would be.
Abbott.
So I don't think you'd punt on any of them for a big prelim. So you've got to work with either Rowan or try and maybe mix up the way you go forward. Magpies and Giants, that would be a closer contest, you'd think, on paper anyway.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, Collingwood are building nicely. They've done what they've needed to do. And, motivation, no issue with any of that. I think they look really balanced. Wonder if their forward line, trying to squeeze DeGoey into that forward line with Elliott, who's been in great form, with Stevenson. So they've been smashed by injuries, but I think they're pretty settled. Mm. I think they're pretty settled. Roughhead down back. They've got good matchups, I think, for the Giants' forward lines. Green he's a wild card. Mm. I think he's arguably their most important player. They've found a bit of an edge, the Giants, that we didn't think that they necessarily possess. I mean, it's set up for a great game. I still like Collingwood. I think they're really well balanced across the ground. The way that they use the footy, Collingwood, they're a lot more deliberate coming inside 50. So that's going to force Haynes and Davis to be, they just can't camp and intercept mark like they were able to do on the weekend.
So it's the same both ends. We said earlier this morning, you've got Darcy Moore and Jeremy Howe parked at one end. You've got Phil Davis and Haynes parked at the other. So the way you're going is as important as ever. I was at the last time these two teams played was at Giant Stadium. Collingwood and the Giants. The Giants kicked 7 or 8 goals to none, or one in the first quarter. Unfortunately, we can't take anything from it. It was, I think, Flynn Appleby, it was Isaac Quaynor.
Yeah, it's a different team.
The back six was really not established at all, but they will look at aspects of that. The other one was Pendlebury playing with a broken finger and just not Pendlebury-like. So the ball goes to someone. Who's he go to?
Well, he might go to Adams is that inside midfielder. He might go to side bottom. He might go to Pendlebury. I was interested in reading Jordan Lewis this morning saying you cut off the source. The source has been Taylor Adams because Taylor Adams is one of those really hard inside type players who feeds the outside players who brings Treloar more into the game. So I wouldn't be surprised if they decided that might have been the way. That might be the way to go.
Yeah. I'd go side bottom. I'd cut off the class. It worked in the grand final last year. I understand the theory around cutting off the source, but let the source kick it when it's Taylor Adams, who's not as a skillful a player. I mean, his finals record is incredible. So this is less a knock on Taylor Adams than it is on appreciating the quality of steel side bottom.
I think they might send Reed out, though, to side bottom and keep De Boer on the inside with their midfield mix because that's where they actually want to place him. Because I think he was third for score involvements on Saturday night as well. So he actually does a lot of good work inside, which stimulates their midfield.
This is what makes it a really intriguing game. I'm going completely different to you. I'm going after Pendlebury. So I'm putting De Boer to Pendlebury and I'd have Reed at side bottom on the wing and just see. I mean, Pendlebury, we appreciate Adams and we appreciate Treloar big time. Pendlebury's had as good a year as both of them. Mm. And he brings so much other stuff to the table in terms of his, ball use. He's been able to control tempo and be able to read and see what's unfolding. So I want to try and go to him and influence him.
Would you send one, if you're Nathan Buckley, do you send one to Whitfield?
Lockie Whitfield plays in such a unique way. And this is that game, in actual fact, we had a really good chat with the Giants people about the way they use Whitfield in that game. And he was playing on a wing, but essentially going wherever the hell he wanted to. And Tomlinson was a lot of cover for him. So they let him go. They just let him go, the Magpies, in that particular game. They got well beaten in the end, so they were trying to probably score. But I don't think they will.
Aru, before we let you go to the Toby Green incident, how did you read that?
It's pretty similar. I thought pretty similar to last week. There was nothing that I didn't think it was definitive on the vision that he'd eye gouged. So similar to last week. I didn't think it was definitive last week. So really depends on the testimony of the player. Depends on the testimony of Lachie Neale.
So they don't use that. They won't use the testimony of Lachie Neale, just as they didn't go to Bontempelli. Yeah, the injury report is another thing. That's a different
testimony. Yes.
So they don't go to the players now because they don't trust them, which is fair enough, but they go to the injury report.
Yeah. There's no blood. He didn't leave the ground.
No.
He didn't miss any of the game.
It is hard to see given he got off.
Which is why they gave it low impact.
Yeah. So if you get off 1 week.
He got a $7,500
fine. Yeah, so no suspension, though. Yeah,
were you thinking that he'll play the weekend based on what we've seen?
Well, I'm thinking he will.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how would you know with the tribunal and the MRO? Yeah, really, how would you know?
I think he gets off.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
I mean, you've got a week-old precedent involving the same player, really, don't you? Because you can't unless there's vision that exists that I haven't seen.
I don't believe there is.
Yeah.
I think
could you say definitively that he eye gouged?
Absolutely
in that situation?
Not. No. Absolutely not. I don't think they're saying an eye gouge. No. They're saying a punch. Like
they're saying unnecessary contact to the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which he did last week. I would have thought.
Yeah. Well, that was. Yeah.
He made unnecessary contact to the face last week. Yeah. And got a fine. Hey, quick tips, and then we'll let you go.
Tigers pies.
Tiger pie grand final, Wispy.
Tiger pie.
Early in the piece.
Tiger pie.
How big would that be?
Tiger
huge.
How big would that be? Jeez. Unbelievable.
Hey, great to talk to you, mate. We'll know on Monday when we have a chat again. Nick Reeve up there.